this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all month long, or all week long, I should say, and so I will, all week long, by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. January 5th, that's what it is, 1964. 50 years ago. Ugh, 60s, man. The Chargers rout the Patriots 51-10 in the AFL title game. Fullback Keith Lincoln. You know Keith Lincoln.
Well, I read a lot when I was a kid.
Did you? Yeah. All right. You know how many yards he had in that game?
It was a lot. It was 206.
It was 349, pal.
It was more than 206.
It was north of 206 in that game. Fullback. Did fullbacks combine for 349 yards
in the month of December
in the NFL this year?
What is this fullback you speak of?
I don't know. John Kuhn knows. I don't know how many teams. I guess some teams still line up with a fullback on occasion. A lot more H-back stuff going on. Let's just throw the tight end in the backfield. Some significant birthdays of note on this date. Chuck Knoll, born in 1932, a four-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers, obviously. In the 70s, Jim Otto, Hall of Fame NFL center, longtime Raider, and Warrick Dunn, one of my favorite guys,
yeah.
Running back primarily for, what would you say he primarily played for?
I say primarily Tampa, but he's good in Atlanta.
I was going to say primarily for the Bucs, and I thought, I wonder if he's played more for the Falcons than he did for the Buccaneers. Quite possible. I'll dig up those numbers here for you in a moment. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. Start the new year with a brand new smile. If you're in need of some cosmetic work or you're just in the market for a family dentist, 620-9225, the number, or visit jamesjmccall.com for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, I can tell you why you guys were 50-50 on the Warrick Dunn thing. He played 90 games in Atlanta. He played 91 games in Tampa.
So he was primarily a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
So it's split right down the middle there. Things that never happened while the Jaguars were rumored to be a team that could move to Los Angeles or anywhere else. The Jaguars owner never bought a piece of property in Los Angeles and then announced that he is planning on building a football stadium on said piece of property. But that is exactly the situation that St. Louis Rams find themselves in today, as Rams owner Stan Kroenke has announced his plans to build a new football stadium on a piece of property he bought in Los Angeles. I would say that the Rams are in the NFL LA crosshairs squarely right now. And
yeah,
really all alone. In that conversation, at least at the moment. And yesterday, ESPN anchor Stuart Scott lost his battle with cancer at the age of 49. He leaves behind two daughters, Taylor, age 19, and Sydney, age 15. He also leaves behind countless fans, including myself, who grew up watching him on SportsCenter and ESPN. I can tell you, the Monday Night Football broadcasts were hurt this year by not having Stuart Scott, it felt like, on pregame and postgame for them anchoring that kind of coverage. I have a bunch of friends that didn't know about it until last night, and I got calls from people saying, for real? Stuart Scott died? That sucks. I mean, there were a lot of people very upset, and it was kind of cool to see the way that ESPN handled it with the empty chair during SportsCenter last night. Rich Eisen on the NFL Network
watched the playoff
highlights did Stuart Scott. Essentially, the Instagram from LeBron James and all the athletes, the outpouring that we've seen just in the last 24 hours has been pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I liked Stuart Scott a lot. As I got older, same shtick. I never felt like he updated. I'm sure he did. Regardless, I think the story that you gathered from the commentary yesterday, at least that I did, was guy had cancer three times and basically was like, yeah, you know what? Bring it on.
Right.
You know, this is what, and it eventually got him. But as, his friends were describing yesterday, it's not that, cancer didn't beat him. You beat cancer by the way you approach living with it, you know, and attacking it and trying to get better. And that's apparently what Stuart Scott did at the age of 49 years old. So, rest in peace and the best to his family. I know he has, I believe, two daughters.
Yes.
He survived by. So, and boy, the Monday Night Football postgame, I never watch a pregame, rarely watch a pregame, but the postgame, was brutal. This year, just aimless, like guys standing around not knowing who was supposed to talk, and just I didn't think it was a particularly. I don't know if Stuart Scott alone would be enough to save that mess, but it was not.
He was awfully good at that. I mean, he was I thought he was very good at keeping those big personalities very direct in what they needed to go with. But, I mean, that's not my forte. But
You got the sense this year that a producer was saying in Ray Lewis or Steve Young or Trent Dilfer's ear, all right, you need to say something here. And then they would start talking for about 30 seconds and speak. And I know this symptom because I had to do it on occasion when you do a 3-hour show by yourself and you're talking and you're really not saying a whole lot until you get to the point where your mind formulates what you want to say.
See, I've never worked with a really good host, but I can imagine.
I can imagine. I would agree with that.
Laura Brooks what a never help filled that
in.
Would be.
None of the ladies of Helmets and Heels ever filled in when we were gone when you were here. I guess that's the case. So, yes. What he said. As John will do. Yes, I agree with that. Let's go back to a couple points Bruce made, and then we'll open the phone lines back up if you want to get in on the offense coordinator, you want to talk NFL playoffs, whatever you'd like to do here. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony. Bruce talking about, put aside the concerns about Blake not focusing enough. I don't think anybody in this building has that concern about Blake whatsoever. Mechanics are an issue.
By the way, Peyton Manning's done a few commercials.
He has.
You can do commercials and be successful in the
NFL. So is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So is Russell Wilson. So, right. Most
so obviously.
Right. And, so you see him doing a commercial that he filmed literally probably in 30 minutes tops in the offseason. It's not an issue whatsoever, at least inside this building. It shouldn't be an issue outside the building. However, the mechanics of it, and where he says, don't know if he'll ever get to that point. He might not.
Sure.
We don't know. Nobody knows. That's the thing.
I thought it was interesting last Monday when Blake talked for the last time. He talks some about his mechanics during the year, but I think understandably didn't delve into a whole lot of detail during the year because he's got other things on his mind.
And you're gonna get that question then over and over, how are your mechanics this week? How did you feel your mechanics were last week?
Now he addressed it. He was fine to talk about it during the year, and he knew it was an issue. But on Monday, he said he felt like he had been very upfront during the draft process. He wasn't saying this on Monday, but I'm giving some background. He had been very upfront during the draft process, and after he got drafted, that those needed to improve. And it was a focus all year, and he knew there were issues. Very tough during the season to address that to the point where it becomes muscle memory. But he said when he watched it, he felt like if in college he was throwing 60 passes and he was throwing it 60 different ways. He was basically saying his mechanics were a mess coming out. He thought as a rookie, they were better than that. But he clearly knows there's more work to do. So it sounded from him like he's very aware there's more work and that the work that he did can continue to have benefit in that direction. So, this was an issue coming out that they knew. They knew he needed to work on it. He feels like he improved from point A to point B. Now it's time to see how he improves from point B to point C.
And can you maintain the progress that you made?
I think he felt like he maintained a lot of the progress, not enough. So now he's got to get to a point where he maintains more. Most quarterbacks have this concern throughout the course of a year, where you've got to focus on fundamentals. The really good ones get it figured out to the point where it's not as noticeable. But all quarterbacks are worried about footwork, mechanics, fundamentals throughout the course of a season. I watched Peyton for years work on it every day after practice. Certain things that he knew he had to work on to make sure that they didn't slide during the season. And it's a constant battle for a lot of guys. So I think Blake over time needs to figure out how to have that be more consistent throughout the course of the year. But I think the good news for him is he's very aware of it. It feels like, again, progress from point A to point B. Now it's time to get from point B to point C.
I think listening to folks just really throughout the course of the season, but now I think we'll hear a lot more opinions on this one side or the other. We get a ton of the opinion, hey, I saw a lot of progress in Blake. I'm excited about the future. See a lot of that, okay? Also hear quite a bit of, I'm really concerned about Blake. Boy, I mean, his mechanics are sloppy. He didn't play very well this year. All the pick sixes, all the interceptions, the decision making. I wonder if we drafted the right guy. one of those camps may be absolutely right. Sure. It could be somewhere in the middle, more likely somewhere in the middle. You hope it's on the high end of the middle, right? You hope it's more towards he's going to be really good. He may not be the next John Elway, but he's going to be a guy that you can win with, win playoff games with, that whole thing. The important point, I think, though, for us, because I'm not saying you can't call and make the suggestion, but you're going to drive yourself crazy if you sit here and think there's a chance in hell that the third pick in the draft is being spent on a quarterback.
It's going to be a very frustrating April 30th if you think they're going quarterback.
Even if Jameis or Mariota is sitting there at three, and I think there's a pretty good chance one of them will be sitting there at three, unless Tennessee executes a trade, because I'm not convinced that the Titans are going to draft one of these guys in that spot. I think the Bucs will take a quarterback. I don't know if they prefer Mariota or if they prefer Winston when it's all said and done.
I think you will certainly see every quarterback who's at the top of the draft gets picked apart. I think the next 4 months you will see these guys get really picked apart.
Absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, but
rightly or wrongly, but there are things in their games
and likewise,
that are going to concern people.
Rightly or wrongly, the Jags are committed to Bortles. Right now, the people that say, well, how can you be saying it's wrong? He's the next guy. Well, a lot of people would have said that about Leftwich after 1 year, right? I mean, I'm not trying to say he is or he isn't. I hope he is. My point is, that's their guy. They're going to build with him, or they're going to lose their jobs eventually because of him. That's basically what it boils down to in the National Football League.
Yes.
You might get to select a second quarterback if you're the GM. Gus Bradley can't survive another year like this. You can't go 3-13 again next year. Agree with that?
Right. I don't know how Joe feels, but I would say that probably.
We'll ask him on the break, all right? 641-1010. If you'd like to get on board, it is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Oh, the Tyler Devitt era is in full effect. 2015 is upon us.
Hey, Joe.
There it is. Well played, Tyler.
That's good.
First kudos right there of the new producer.
He just wanted to talk to Joe Fortunato. That was it. That was all he was trying to do.
Well, we always do thank Joe Fortunato at the end of every show. That'd be kind of
really
come
song,
like, who's the guy? I can't think of anyone's name anymore, Tony. Brain cells are at a premium right now. Who's the talk show host that always...
Hacker?
Is it Matt Damon coming up next? Right, we didn't have time for Matt Damon. Who's the guy? The late night talk show. Name all the late night talk show hosts.
Oh, yeah.
He's not like
Jimmy
the frontline guy. Jimmy Fallon. Not Jimmy Fallon. The other guy. The guy with the
Seth Meyers.
The guy with the thing and the
Ferguson?
Other guy. No, it's not Ferguson. It's Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel.
That's who it is. Isn't that always his shtick? Like, oh, we just didn't have time for Matt Damon.
Matt Damon shtick.
Like, and it was like every single day with that kind of thing. So it's like us with Fortunato. He doesn't really do anything. Although today,
he saved us.
He did save us. We were a little late getting on the air. Wouldn't have been on the air without Joey F today. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board and get into a little Jaguar off-season talk. Jed Fish out as the offensive coordinator. You know that by now. What direction do you want to see the Jags go in? What's the number one qualification you want to see the next OC possess when Gus Bradley hires him? That's today's Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by Foundation Professionals of Florida. By the way, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. Now, get that in your regular rotation as well. Looking at the Jags, we'll do this later on in the week, but this is kind of the wrap-up for us here, John, for the season.
Sure.
But later on in the week, Tony and I are going to throw out there, you know, as things stand right now among Jaguar fans, what's your best guess and or hope for the third pick in the draft, right? We like to, you know, very early, beginning of the offseason, here we go, and then kind of track it month by month as it changes course of time.
Yeah.
Right, if you followed it at all, if you follow the mock draft world, which is, it's a funny world, we get
that's
it.
That's a scary world.
It is a scary, but I enjoy the hell out of it because I love the draft so much, and it's much like fantasy football to me. You know, it's just like it's very similar. That's where the great overlap is, but it's, you know, it impacts real performance on Sunday. Who are you going to draft? You have a sense, you've watched these guys, you know something about them, everyone's got their own opinion. And guess what? The public at large, sometimes are smarter than the general managers of the National Football League. And so you've got that argument that, well, you guys don't watch the film, you don't know every prospect. It doesn't mean you still can't be right about somebody, even if you disagree. I mean, there are plenty of bad GMs, and they ultimately get fired because of it. But as we sit here today, what position, what direction do you see them going most likely? Granted, it's only January 5th.
Well, I've been saying for months, I think they go defensive line. I think they go pass rusher because it also feels like it lines up where it's going to be a pretty strong draft at that position. But I keep going back to something that David Caldwell said a few years ago. You've only got so many chances to get quarterback, left tackle, pass rushers, some of those premium guys at the top of the draft. And he's got left tackle, he's got quarterback. You know, if there's a pass rusher there, I would put the odds in favor of them going that way. Now, again, I didn't see him taking Blake Bortles last year in the draft, and it shocked you, so I could be dead wrong on that. But, you know, I think defensive line, because you don't, you know, and I keep getting feedback on that of how in the world could they draft a pass rusher when they were pretty good at rushing the passer last year.
Right.
Well, the reality is you don't draft to help your team necessarily in the first eight games of the following season. You draft to try to get a core that you can build your team around for the long term.
And keep
and
in
if
mind,
there is a dominant defensive end pass rusher out there, it's going to be tough to pass up.
Sorry about that. Looking at the numbers Ron O'Halloran had in the Times Union yesterday, just breaking down the snap distribution, for instance. Chris Clemens, I don't know if anybody would have really predicted he would play 789 snaps, by far the most of any defensive end on this football team, and more snaps than anybody, including Cindric Marks, who played about 70 snaps fewer than him. And obviously it's going to decrease from there. You know, you've got your starters, certain positions are on a rotation, but that was a lot of snaps for a guy that I think they got a pretty productive year out of Chris
Clemens. They absolutely did.
You know, so
there have been far, far worse free agent signings.
But to count on that level of production every year going forward for how long? Well, maybe you'll get another year.
And it's
like
not
that.
Really what they want out of their defensive line. I mean, they were pretty clear last year, and then an exact number escapes me, but they like that number closer to around 600, 650 snaps than close to 800. I think they would tell you is too many for the pass rushing defensive end.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Right. With their perspective
now,
on it.
He obviously produced, and they were a better team because he was here. I mean, now they were a better defensive line because he was here. But you would like more of a rotation up front.
Let's go to the phone, 641-1010. Irvin, you're up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning. Hi, Irvin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Quick question. My concern is, or not concern, I guess, my question is, and I'm going to take it off the air, is that how do we judge, or how do, we grade players, but how do you grade, how would you grade an offensive coordinator? Because when you hire me, basically, it's Jeff Fish. I'm just using that study, the one that was blazing. My question is how would you grade him if I was you saying that I was your man, you hired me? Do you really think 2 years is enough time to really do an evaluation?
Yes, I do. Me personally. I mean, now, Gus Bradley, as you pointed out earlier, John, said it was more about philosophical differences and actual just statistical performance. But for me, as if I'm the head coach, I say, you know what, we're 31st in the league, second to last in offense both of the first 2 years. I mean, how many years do you need to go on that to make a reasonable? Now, had he brought him back, that's certainly within his prerogative. I think while this was not his intent to do, I think what this does is throws a nice juicy steak to the Lions that were, waiting outside the castle, looking for a little blood. They want to look. They won 7 games in 2 years. We've been loyal. You told us to be patient. Now we need to see somebody's head roll. I don't think that was the reason why it was done,
no.
But I think it has that impact that you served up a juicy cut of meat to the hungry masses out there.
Yeah, I mean, it probably does have that impact, but that's not why.
No, I get it, but I think it's it is kind of, if you didn't, we would have an endless stream of questioning, why is Jed Fish still on this team? How can you justify Jed Fish still being on this sure. football team? I know that would have been coming. Let's get Lucas in here next on 1010XL. Hi, Lucas. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You know, along the lines of the same conversation with the offensive coordinator, you know, I heard some people during the press conference with Gus Bradley throw out Trestman. Other people have thrown out the offensive coordinator that was in Chicago. His name's escaping me right now.
I think you're thinking of Trestman. Trestman was the head coach in Chicago. Unless you're
People were also talking about the offensive coordinator there.
Their OC, okay.
Cromer, I believe.
Okay. Aaron Cromer, right? The guy who threw Jay Cutler under the bus.
Right. But I was just wondering if y'all think that we're gonna maybe start running a little more power eye. Or if y'all think that we're going to stick with this three wide spread out, and if that's going to affect the coaching choice.
Gotcha.
I think it'll probably be up to the coordinator. I mean, the only thing Gus really, yeah, I mean.
How many power eye teams are there in the National Football
League? Yeah, I mean, if you've got the personnel to do it, sure, but I mean.
Honestly, are there any power eye teams in the National Football League? Is there a single one? I mean, there are teams that run the ball.
Right.
But who runs the power? Who runs fullback, right. tailback? We're going to run it down your throat. They run single back offenses, typically, even the teams
sure.
that have a bruising run, like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, I sort of got the impression that's what he meant more
okay.
than, you know.
But that's, in that format, you're lining up with three wide receivers. Maybe you're lining up with two tight ends. You're either going too tight or three wide. You're not playing a fullback.
And right, the one thing Gus did say along these lines last week is they're going to continue to zone block because that's what the personnel they brought in is about. So that's sort of really the only hint he gave about the direction of the offense. And you got the idea from listening to him last week that it'll be a matter of if they find the right guy, that it'll be the guy who determines a lot of what goes forward.
By the way, Cromer get, I mean, I can't imagine a team would hire him to be more than a position coach at the most right now. How can you bring in a guy that was involved in that story in the last month of the season where he's thrown his QB under the bus as an anonymous source and then mea culpas to the whole team and has that whole situation go on. I don't know how Jay Cutler could have trusted him for one more moment. And clearly they moved on from him after the season, but even the last 3 weeks of the year, I don't know how anybody in that locker room could trust him. And if he did it there, what would make you think your new quarterback is going to trust this guy
right.
when he has a track record of doing that kind of thing?
It's what they call in the business a tough sell, Mike.
I think that's the Mr. Cromer is going to be looking for a job for a while. Now, again, position coach, I don't know. Maybe a terrific position coach. I have no idea. Let's get Sean
the
in
NFL
here.
Is all about second chances, Mike.
Well, it is for many, certainly. Sean, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I love talking draft. I'm a big Nebraska fan, so of course I love Randy Gregory, but you gotta go Leonard Williams, USC. Gotta be our first pick, man. Consistent pressure on the quarterback. That's what we need. Andrew Luck, gotta put him on his back.
And that's interesting that a Nebraska fan would say, Gregory's not the guy as opposed to Leonard Williams. I think a lot of people would agree
sure.
with Sean. But it's two completely different guys here you're talking about, right? Leonard Williams would be Red Bryant's ultimate replacement, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
At least I would think. Look at the size, the speed ratio. You look at Gregory. Gregory's a straight Otto in this defense, right? Or a Leo.
Right,
I'm getting
yeah.
a Leo and the Otto confused. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
He's that right end, that long. He's 6'5", about 245 pounds. Just a pure pass rusher is what he is. Whereas Williams is an interesting player because he seems like he could be Red Bryant against the run with pass rush ability. Mm-hmm. And that's a rare man
right.
in the National
and
Football
that's, League. You know, and he appears to be the kind of player, I know talking to Baselli about him, said he can play a lot of different spots on the line. He appears to be one of these guys who, you know, if you've got a chance at him, you take him and then you figure it out after you've got him because he's that good.
Right, maybe, I mean, again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's say we get Cedric Marks back, full health. You slide both of those guys inside in your lightning package. You know,
right.
if he's that kind of thing, and you put two quicker guys on the outside. I mean, a lot of different varieties you can go. But the more I hear about him, and I hadn't watched USC play a whole lot in the last couple of years, the more I hear about it, the more I really wonder if he's even going to be available for the Jags at number three.
Sure.
You know, and maybe that works out well, where people say, well, that's great because then we'll be the trade partner if somebody wants to come up and get a quarterback. I would think, though, it's going to play out like this, or there's a good chance it plays out like this. Let's say the Bucks go Mariota, okay? So the Tennessee's there. We don't want to take a quarterback. We're Tennessee. Okay, well, we're the trading partner then. You're going to have to come up to us because we control this spot. Now, you could sit there and say, all right, we're going to wait, but if you're a team that wants to trade for a quarterback, you're not going to take the chance that some other team is going to move into that spot. That's the spot you're going to have to go to. And let's say there is no market. They're like, you know what? We could take or leave Winston. We got issues with him. Well, Leonard Williams could be a Tennessee Titan in that scenario.
Sure.
Though, very easily, you know.
Sure.
So who knows? I mean, draft process got to play itself
out.
And
if you're Tennessee there and you know who you want, you know, do you trade back if...
Depends on how much you like that guy.
Right. You trade back if you like a guy and then risk losing to Jacksonville. So, I mean, there's all sorts of psychology that goes into that.
And Tony and I contended, and I still stand by it, if you believe in Blake Bortles, like they said they believe, you believe enough in Blake Bortles to draft him at number three, you didn't risk trading back last year. Now, but that's the quarterback position. Would the Tennessee Titans like Leonard Williams enough to feel that way about him? Maybe they would.
If you like a guy, take him.
Right, if you like him that much. But if you like him by a smidge over these other two guys, and you know you're going to get one of the three, you know, then I think that's when your trade possibilities really open up a lot more.
Often in the first round, you find yourself sometimes talking yourself into liking a guy more than a smidge.
We'll check with Joe and get back to you.
We'll check with Joe, and honestly, I feel like if any player is going to become the move to go get him guy, it's going to be Leonard Williams. If he is as good and he goes through this process and the teams and GMs feel as good about him as everyone seems to right now in January, that if he's the guy that's still there at two, that may be the guy that teams are saying, we got to go up and get him before Jacksonville
does. May in fact
does.
Be that.
He's
right.
This year's model, isn't he?
He seems to be, right? And I mean, look, it's January 5th, for goodness sakes. You know, Leonard Williams may turn out to be the ninth pick
April
in the draft.
Oh, April 30th is a long way.
Somebody tweeted me and said, what about Dante Fowler? Fowler is three too high.
We'll see.
If nine's...
He's being talked about like 6 to 10 right now.
Right. So if nine's not too high,
right,
if nobody would bat an eye at him going ninth, I don't see how you'd bat an eye at him going third,
we'll
quite
see.
Honestly.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
goodness,
analysis.
Goodness, a long way to go.
Oh, I love it, though. I really do. If you like the draft, you've come to the right place.
You got a gleam in your eye. You do.
I do. I love the draft. A free agency might be more fun than the draft for the first time ever, though, because we're expecting, you know, bankroll. Come on, let's go. Shad, start throwing some bucks around, or Dave Caldwell could throw Shad's money around.
Got to see who's out there first.
There are a lot of, I don't think all of the wide receivers and tight ends that you'd like to see here are all going to get re-signed by their teams.
We'll see.
We will see, but I don't think that'll be the case. So, we'll find out. It'll be fun to watch. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Fan feedback spotlight coming up next, asking you what is the number one qualification you're looking for in the next Jaguar offensive coordinator. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You got to match the coordinator with the personnel that we have. And I think that's for the players. That's the number one thing that I or we can do for them, is to make sure we match philosophy with their talents.
All right, Jaguars today continues. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. Only Tyler Devitt producing. Happy 2015. Happy New Year to you. First Jaguars today of the new year. We will have Loggy in tomorrow. Log's going to be with us through the NFL playoffs. And, we'll see. We're figuring out what to do with the ozone here. You're going to be on every week. You know,
I'm getting figured.
Well, would it be better to spread your considerable talents out to multiple days of the week? You know, is this the best use of your brilliance?
I mean, we have to make room for Joe.
It's
somewhere
true.
In here. But he can do Friday.
Say.
He could do Fridays.
I heard he's flexible.
All right. I mean,
he's available just about any day here on Jaguar Talk. It's a joke, folks. If you don't know what we're talking about, you missed it earlier.
Yeah.
Joe was a big part of the program in the first hour.
He was critical.
Today, Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you in the month of January by our friends at Foundation Professionals of Florida. We asked you today, with Jed Fish no longer in the OC chair, and it'll be interesting to see, by the way, where he ends up, you know, what kind of market there is for his services in whether it's the college or the pro ranks. But with Jed Fish gone, what is the number one qualification you'll be looking for in a new offensive coordinator, Tony? Jaguar fans never disappoint. They're always opinionated. What did they give us today?
Here's what we got from Matt. Has to have had proven himself somewhere else before, preferably on the NFL level. From Robbie, make sure they are established and have had success as an offensive coordinator. Hashtag bring on Tressman. Hashtag no more wide receiver screens. We've talked about that a little bit already. Ronald said throw the football vertically, not horizontally. Hashtag receiver screens.
Okay, go watch Denver and see how many receiver screens they throw.
I know.
They'll throw a bunch of them. Now, they're throwing them to great players, and they certainly take their shots downfield as well. But wide receiver screen is in every offense in the National Football League.
Yeah, you're probably going to see it a little bit.
Antonio Brown runs a bunch of them. Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, all the Tressman people, he threw a ton of wide receiver screens to those two guys over the last 2 years.
Definitely does. From Hodari, ability to design an offense to maximize the strengths of its players, namely the quarterback while attacking opposing defensive weaknesses. From Chris, by far the most important, NFL experience. Young men we have with good raw talent need to be coached up with experience. From Will, we got an NFL resume. From Nick, teacher, Blake needs to learn a lot. Hashtag next year. Hashtag Blake the Great. From Stevie, can score, will travel. From Eric, I want someone who can develop a downfield passing game with what we have. Hashtag make them better. From Duval Doom, downfield passing attack, yards per attempt to average in the top 10, please. From Ryan, an offensive play calling identity, preferably a passing fun and gun type of identity, but whatever wins. And from Black Dog Express, aggressive and unpredictable. Hashtag electrify.
I think the most important thing, whatever wins is great, but it's tough. You're not instantly going to get to that stage, right? So in the meantime, let's take some shots downfield, right? Let's be exciting. To me, it is NFL experience. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a guy who's had some success. The problem being, how did he become available?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because everybody's great at some point and they become available because they lose their job.
Yep.
Right. So maybe it will be Greg Roman, and who had early on had a lot of success with both Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. The issue that I see in Kaepernick is I don't know if he's gotten any better. It seems to have stagnated. Right. And that's a run heavy group behind one of the best offensive lines when healthy in the National Football League.
Yep.
It's not a situation to be walking into here.
It's so tough to judge a coordinator on 1 year, too. I mean, he was the hot guy 2 years ago, remember? A hot guy last year, and all of a sudden, 1-8-8 season where, you know, any coordinator you get, if you talk to the former fan base, the guy's available, so the former fan base is probably going to be down on him. It's the nature of coordinator. It's like you said, if they're out there, they're out there for a reason. And one man's prize is another man's trash, so to speak.
I just look at this young group of quarterbacks in the NFL, though, and Luck, to me, is evidently getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is evidently getting better. Not just because their teams are winning a bunch of games. Just if you watch them play and see how in command of everything they are. Whereas I think Kaepernick is kind of flatlined. I'm not saying he doesn't have room for growth.
Sure.
But it just seems like in the last couple of seasons, he's like, when he first burst on, we're like, how's anyone going to deal with this guy? And maybe it's just a case of we don't want to run him as much because it leads to big hits and ultimately that leads to injuries. But some guys are who they are. And I think you wouldn't take Randall Cunningham, take the running aspect away and have him be anywhere close to as effective a quarterback as he turned out to be.
Right.
Now I get to the point where he became more of a pocket quarterback, but he always had that threat for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing with Kaepernick. We saw late in the season he had that 93-yard run.
Yep.
Where's that been? It just seems like they've been holding him back in that regard. And I with him, at least, I think he's such a thoroughbred athlete. He's an athlete. He's twice the athlete Blake Bortles is. You know, just in terms of pure speed. And twice the athlete of most quarterbacks. In the National Football League.
Well, I think if you go back to the offseason and look at the contract he signed with San Francisco, you're kind of getting an idea why. that even in inside the organization, there was this feeling with maybe he's going to develop, maybe he's not. And let's put ourselves as a team in a position where, look, we like this guy, but we're not sure what he's going to be in 2 or 3 years. So if we need to pull the plug on this experiment in 2 or 3 years, let's leave ourselves in a position where we can, but we're still paying him fairly if he's playing at a high enough level. And I think San Francisco protected themselves from Kaepernick sinking them for 5 or 6 years, and you're kind of seeing the results of that on the field, that defenses have figured out how to defend Kaepernick at this point. They haven't figured out how to defend Wilson and Luck, because those are guys that are still beating you with their arms as much as they're beating you with their legs. At the same time, Kaepernick just wasn't able this year. I don't know if it's because of the offense. Didn't watch a ton of San Francisco football, so I couldn't tell you. I know it was really good for the last 2 years offensively out there, and that Roman was doing something right in San Francisco, and I don't know if his quarterback or whatever got in the way of that this year.
Here's some we got on Facebook. Got a lot of different answers here. Joel Swan said, the ability to properly develop a quarterback and run a vertical offense, hashtag Jaguars today. Okay, I guess I want vertical offense defined, right? Because is New England's offense good
enough?
People
got frustrated because they didn't throw the ball downfield. You know, I think Jed would tell you, a lot of why they didn't throw the ball downfield is when you can't protect, and this team had trouble protecting, whatever the reasons were, it's hard to throw the ball downfield.
And we talked about that to her
ad nauseum. Right. So,
and a quick Saber number. Tony Khan actually put this out on Twitter earlier today. Arizona averaged 10.4 yards per attempt in the air throwing the ball this year. That's third highest since 2006, and that's with all four quarterbacks.
Say that again.
10.4 yards per attempt in the air. That's how far the ball
Arizona.
Was thrown. Arizona this year. That's third out of 288 teams since 2006.
And their offense is generally regarded as miserable.
Right. The Jaguars this year averaged 6.73 yards per attempt in the air. That's not completed passes. That's just how far you average throwing the ball in the air. That's 272nd out of 288 since 2006.
That's pretty low.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Well,
so when fans are saying they want to see a more vertical offense, it wouldn't be that difficult to see it get vertical.
And I think if the offensive line gets better, you're naturally going to see more of that, and you probably would have seen that if Jed Fish had returned as well, right? And so the natural inclination is going to be, see, we got a new guy in here.
Sure.
He wants to throw it downfield.
And that's the nature of the beast.
And that's fine. Others here from Shane Hankey. How not to suck at every position for a change, and how to throw the ball past the flat sticks on third down instead of behind the line of scrimmage. That's a football-wide thing.
I was gonna say, just watch the football this weekend, next weekend.
And I don't mean just pro, every football.
Right. They throw the ball short of the sticks and hope a guy makes a play.
Right. And when he does, you're like, oh, look, that can work. Right. and occasion it works here. Let's see, from Charlie Oscar. So, over the holidays, Mike apparently changed his name to Joe. That aside, I want an offense coordinator that understands the weapons we have and uses them correctly. Simple, right? Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Mike is Joe. Hashtag Joe Osier. So I don't know.
It could be.
We haven't figured it out yet either. Here's one more from Justin Mons. Make an effective game plan. Go for the first down marker on second and third downs instead of the safe check down to force the punt, and stick with what is working. For example, the pass is working. You're driving into the red zone. Then switch to the run game to get nowhere, forcing us to send Scobie out to save the drive. Unacceptable. We were laughing about this, Tony. Was it week 17, right, with the Green Bay? Again, does Green Bay have a good offense? Are you happy with their offense? You'd love their offense. They're one of the most vertical offenses in the league, right? I mean, in terms of pure taking deep shots down the field, they run.
They ran the ball for 60 yards.
61, I believe it went, right down to the 1 yard line. Four consecutive incompletions at the one, right? I mean, so,
right.
You know, but at the same time, I'm watching Florida State, you know, and they get down to the 1 yard line and they go five plays because they had a penalty, run, and stuff. And I'm thinking, not going to throw it once with the Heisman winning quarterback from last year, not just one attempt there. So the bottom line is whatever works,
people was right. People want to be better. That's what I mean.
They do. They want to win. They want to win, and they want to have fun. They would take anything, I think, that's 12-4. Okay.
Sure.
You give me 3 yards and a cloud of dust, 12-4, right on, baby. We love that style of football. But barring that and nobody seeing that big jump to that, give us something that we can be excited about on a weekly basis. A lot of people, not everybody, I know
when
they're
you're losing. People want to go downfield because it looks like you're trying. And believe me, they were trying to figure out what would work with it, and with an offense this young that was struggling in so many areas, it was tough. And I think it'll get better next year. But again, if I wrote it 1,000 times last week, if you think Jed Fish was the entire problem with this offense, you're wrong. It's going to get better as time goes on because these guys are going to get better.
Let's hope they do.
Yeah.
That's what they're counting on in a big way. Just like we do with Johnny O right here. 2015 is going to be his best year on Jaguars Today ever.
Well, you hope so.
You're off to a great start.
Yes,
well, much like the Jags' vertical offense, low bar.
Right? Low bar. Right. I mean, yeah.
It's not much of a threshold to jump over.